And we're live.
Dun, dun, dun. That was Carol the cat.
Yeah.
Joey the guinea pig.
He pointed out
Matt.
I forgot her code name. Matt Starnslord? I'm not even sure anymore. Tiffany Tenacious T.
Hello.
Very special guest. Melinda Metz from the Cabarrus County Library. Thank you. And this is what? Guardians of the Geekery episode 17. Oh my
17.
Gosh.
We're
we made
legal.
It. And we have buttons with our logo. So we're awesome. Yeah.
Not okay. Like buttons on your computer. Buttons that you wear, you know?
So yeah, don't press your computer
press
screen.
Your computer
there's
button.
Nothing.
At least not my buttons, babe. Isn't that a song?
Anyway.
It should be.
Without any further ado, we're going to launch right into the rapid fire response round. We're going to do something a little bit different this week.
I'm excited about
we
this.
We have the special Cards Against Humanity science pack. So I'm going to make up a series of questions, and our guest, Melinda Metz. No, I'm not asking those questions because we're trying to keep it library friendly. So our special guest, Melinda Metz, is going to answer not with her own words, but with whatever the cards say. She may turn some of them because she has worked for the library. We don't want her to lose her job. So without any further ado, did you write the Roswell? What was the most scientific part about writing the Roswell series? Read the card.
The sun engulfing the earth.
All right. Are there aliens in section 54?
You mean area 51?
Yeah, you know that works for me too.
3.7 billion years of evolution.
All right.
About right.
What did you feel like after you wrote the Mary Kate and Ashley series novels?
David Attenborough watching us mate.
Wow.
Okay. I know.
I'm not going to say anything else about that one.
Okay.
Nope. Moving on. Next
worst villain on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh.
Driving into a tornado to learn about tornadoes.
That yeah. was a weird
episode.
That was a weird
episode.
Yeah.
I'm glad Spike took them out.
They might have been in section 54, right?
Section 54.
Aisle 22?
Hey, I'm totally right.
You think
it's
Studio 54
now?
Yeah.
Isn't that like a part? And what's your favorite part of the library?
Yes.
Explosive decompression.
I thought you were going another explosive D word. I was like, yikes.
All right, and for real, no, Melinda, if you were trapped on an island with a solar-powered, rechargeable iPad or tablet, what would be the book that you would preload on there to read over and over again?
Ooh.
I know I shouldn't think so long. It's just hard because there's so many books I love. The first thing that came into my head was actually Anne of Green Gables because my mom used to read it to me when I was a little girl.
Yay!
Okay. So it has very sentimental.
And so what movie would you preload on there?
Oh, these are such hard questions. The first thing I thought of was The Shining, but I don't think that's actually true. But I guess it would make the island maybe less scary. Or at least there's no hotel here.
What about album that you might preload?
Wow. I'm just going with everything that's the first thing in my head.
Yeah.
Some sort of ABBA album.
ABBA's Ooh. Greatest hits or complete collection
yes,
or something,
something.
Yeah. And then finally, what game would you play over and over again on your iPad or tablet?
Probably Candy Crush.
Okay. Just woman after my own heart.
For a long time.
And ever and ever.
Well, thank you. You have survived.
Yeah. I was nervous.
Through the gauntlet. You did it.
She survived section 54.
54.
That's the psych ward section, I think. So tell us who you are, Melinda, and why you're here with us today.
My name's Melinda Metz, and I work at the Cabarrus County Library. And I don't know why I'm reading it off.
Hey, he read it. You read it.
I work in the children's section, and I'm partly coming to promote our... well, it's not our free library, our free comic book day, because that's everyone's free comic book day, but we are going to participate in free comic book day,
yeah.
And we are having some crafts for kids, and we're going to show Big Hero 6, and perhaps some of the Charlotte Geeks will come in costume, and
yes,
we have Jeff Lamb, a comic book artist, who's going to come and talk to us and show demos of his work. And other than that, I'm also a writer, and some of the geeky things I've written are the Roswell High series that became the TV show Roswell, and a few Buffy the Vampire Slayer novels, and Mary-Kate and Ashley as well.
Yes!
Not the whole series, though, but about five.
The Case of the Rockstar Secret.
Exactly.
Yes. So, I'm excited about that.
So, it's go big. Ahead. Spoiler alert. What was the rock star secret?
Oh, wow. You know, somebody actually did that to me, and I couldn't remember who did it, and I can't remember either. It's like I've written about 65 books, and a lot of them have been mysteries, and I don't remember who did it. I'd have to get at least a few names in my head. For the case of the dog show mystery, when I read that there was blonde hair and everything, I was like, oh, right, it was that Afghan dog. That's what it was. But I honestly don't remember what the rock star's secret
those
was.
Those dogs are notorious for
they
doing
are.
Stuff.
Are you kind of like one of those goldfish in the bowl that they swim around and say, ooh, castle! Ooh, castle! Ooh, castle!
No, I could probably remember the Roswell and Buffy ones more. But nothing wrong with Mary-Kate and Ashley, but I've written some Hardy Boys with Mary-Kate and Ashley, and there are a lot of mystery plots going around in my head.
I bet. That's really cool, though. So, what inspired you to write the Roswell series?
That was actually Pocketbooks wanted a series called Roswell High, and that was basically their idea. And then a book packager, which is a company that develops series for publishers, got several writers to write samples. And then I actually was the second choice. The first choice person decided to drop out to write Dawson's Creek novels. So oh, wow. I feel very lucky that I got to write the Roswell books.
So the books were before the series.
The books were before the series. The first book and the first episode of Roswell are very close, and it's kind of like alternate universes kind of after that. Oh. Which means, and I did get to write on the show for the third season with my writing partner, Laura Burns.
Oh my goodness.
Which means we got to work with the famous Ron Moore and Jason Kadams and everybody, so...
Nice.
I figured I had to mention Ron Moore for the Charlotte Geeks because he's very...
Yeah, absolutely.
Battlestar Galactica, everything.
I know. And, well, and of course now Edward James Olmos is on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So there you go.
Very full circle. So what got you into writing and getting into where they were asking you for samples? What was the first kind of book that you wrote that started this whole journey?
The first book I wrote was a novelization of an episode of the Goosebumps TV show that was already based on a Goosebumps book. So it was like there was a book, and then there was a TV episode, and then I wrote the novelization of the TV show that it was already based on a book. But it had pictures from the episode, and it was shorter, and it followed exactly what the TV show did. That was my
What a weird beginning. Journey. That's awesome.
And I was an editor before that, and so I kind of learned
as
an editor. And at some point, it took me till I was about 35 to think that you didn't have to be like a special person to be a writer, and even though I knew a lot of writers, I just couldn't envision myself doing it. And then finally I was like, you know, I really do want to do this. And so
very cool. Very
but it
cool.
did take me a while.
And but, so you therapy. Started so you started off from the editor side?
I started off on the editor side. So it's always I always feel like it's not useful for me to say how I became a writer, because it's kind of like, well, first you go and you be an editor for about 10 years then, but that's how I did it. Plus I read a lot when I was a kid. And I was an English major, so those are my various steps.
So there's hope for us. Still.
That's right, because I used to edit Mary-Kate and Ashley before I wrote for Mary-Kate and Ashley.
You're like, I can do better than this.
No. They just, when you're an editor for a continuing series, you're always trying to rewrite things a little bit to make the tone match. So then after I quit that job, they were like, well, she knows how to make the tone match. So they let me do some.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very
so,
cool. Anyway,
who did you work for?
I worked for Parachute Publishing, which their big series was Goosebumps, and I was actually one of R.L. Stine's editors for Fear Street, the non-Goosebumps.
I read every single one of those when I was a kid.
Possibly you read one that I worked on.
That's so cool.
I've gotten to the point where adults come up to me and are like, I love those Mary-Kate and Ashley books. I'm like, oh no. But, Parachute, and before that I worked for Berkeley Publishing, which was part of the Ace Berkeley Jove. Uh-huh. Cologne Garment that's now become part of Penguin, Putnam, Macmillan.
They all kind of merged together after a while.
I was just there when it was Penguin. I was just there when it was Putnam Berkeley before that.
So, very cool. And now you're a librarian.
And now I'm a librarian. So I get to do story time, which is fun. At first I was kind of intimidated by it. I've only been there since the beginning of September full time. I worked part time before that. But now I've had to do story time, and I'm finally getting comfortable in front of the preschoolers.
So they're a tough crowd.
They are. They are very honest.
There are many other things that can grab their attention. So
do you still write?
I do still write. My writing partner, I write a lot with my friend Laura Burns, who was my editor for the Roswell series, and then we teamed up to write TV together. And we're writing a book for St. Martin's we're just starting a new one, but we have one that's coming out in the early part of 2016 called Sanctuary Bay. I can show you guys the cover later.
Yeah.
I forgot, I have it on my phone. It has a, I have an early look.
Nice.
Cool.
Yes.
I just like the name, Sanctuary Bay.
Wow.
Or as I call it to myself, Crazy School. I'm working on the Crazy School. Sanctuary Bay is too hard for me to think of it as. That's what I call it.
What do you like to do better, read or write, if you had to choose?
Well,
it's quite tough, but...
You know what? I think I'd have to choose reading. If I could only take books or my writing implements to a desert island, I would definitely read. I think other people's books are more entertaining than writing them, but I like to write, though.
Excellent.
But
you don't need to actually write to write.
No.
You know, so.
Makes sense.
So, speaking of writing, we have in front of us a bunch of new Cards Against Humanity packs that were written by somebody. but it's part of the STEM Cards Against Humanity. So do you have a little more information on that there, Starnes Lord?
Yeah, this is celebrating, specifically in the STEM pack, it's celebrating women and the
and
science.
Girls in science, yes.
And science. So,
and kind of encouraging young girls to go into the science field.
Which I think is great.
Yes,
yeah.
I think it's great as well.
And there was a great interview... I think I saw it on Facebook or something, but it obviously came from somewhere else who created the content. But they were saying everybody at Cards Against Humanity has a college degree, so they value education, and they just basically wanted to kind of celebrate and make it possible for, more women to get the same science degrees. And you don't really think sometimes... women for science, but
don't
I certainly
like how I
do,
put
so.
The only man on the panel.
Yeah, and that's a spot about that.
I will say I was a biology minor also.
Were you?
Yes.
Yeah. So see, girls can do things with science.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Can write about aliens and make it very factual.
Yeah.
I was an economics minor, and I got courted a little bit by the school to try to pursue that as a major because they didn't have enough women in the economics field. But I'm like, I can do the math. And then, but I don't know that I'd want to live in this world.
So, what did you end up doing?
Creative writing.
See,
but the minor in economics. It was like math I can do. So, except for I had this one professor from MIT who was a visiting professor to the college, and I'd work on these math problems, and I'm like, I can't figure this out, and so I'd always end up going in early, before the class. It was a summer school class, so it's like a 4-hour class. So I'd go in like a half an hour before. To be like, I don't understand this. He's like, oh, I forgot to tell everybody that x equals 1. Like, he'd leave one number out of the equation. And so we'd all be like, any of us who were trying to do well. And then people would get mad at me because then he'd tell me and I'd do the problem before class. And then I was ruining the curve for everybody else. So I'm like, it's not my problem. But
The STEM cards are, it's a science pack, so it's all science related. Uh-huh. It's really nice. And they're giving away a scholarship, apparently.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So we'll do a link to that.
Oh, yeah.
Just as soon as you read that top card, Carol.
The top card?
Dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun.
Failing the Turing test. That's right. I am a robot.
A failure.
An android.
Speaking of robots, Dancing with the Stars was on this week. eliminated another member. And that was none other than the football player this week. He did a really... The worst part about Dancing with the Stars is around the fourth or fifth week, they start doing all the emotional themes. And this week was most important year of your life. And so people are talking about parents, parents passing away, or kids being born, or the year that they were discovered, or whatever number of things. And... the gentleman, and I feel so bad, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but I can't think of anybody's name. But one of the reasons why this football player was on this week was because he has come out as the first openly gay football player. And so he was talking about the fact that when he came out, his father went to the news press and just totally disavowed him and everything like that. And he did a very emotional dance, and it was great. And so after a night of doing a great dance, they're like, and you're going home. So it's just kind of kick you in the teeth kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like right when you start getting invested in some of these people, it's like, what?
Yeah.
So.
The girl from Hunger Games, Willow, she did pretty well. She got the top score for the week. But she was in the bottom two potentially, so I was really glad that she got to hang around.
The football player's name is Michael Sam.
Thank you so much. And probably the weirdest one for me was the whole Suzanne Summers Three's Company tribute. Yeah, she danced to that song. She had little ponytails at the top of her head, and she's 68. And she has that really heavy eye makeup that I just don't think makes any woman look good, especially not a woman that's in her 70s. I can understand big lashes and makeup, but when you do that heavy all the way around eyeliner, and I'm doing a circle around my eye like all of you on the radio can hear this. Yeah,
thank you.
We try to do sound effects. She was talking on the show about the fact that she was so close to John Ritter and all this kind of stuff. And if you were growing up in the 80s and 90s, you heard a lot of these documentaries about how at the end, when they were trying to get Chrissy off the show, like they wouldn't even be in the same room with her. Like she would call in and they would act with her off stage. So it was really kind of weird. I felt like she was kind of trying to pull at something, you know. It was a little too gimmicky for me.
And the set they used was a faithful recreation of the Three's Company apartment set that was, you know, 99% of that show.
Her partner did a great job. Yeah. I understand why I was going for it. It was still a little bizarre to watch it, but...
Was that an ABC show back in the day, maybe?
That's what we were trying to think about.
Yeah.
I think it was
so maybe
ABC
that's
show.
Why they did it. I don't know. Yeah.
Next week is Disney themes, so, you know.
Who owns ABC? So.
Yeah. Speaking of authentic recreations, and this is not on the list, but Mad Men came back this Sunday, so I'm happy.
I'm like two seasons behind.
Isn't this your last season?
Yes, this is the last 7 episodes, so I'll be sad to see my friends at Sterling Cooper go away, but... yeah, they jumped ahead a couple years. It's now 1970.
Oh.
Come and knock on my door. Lots of sideburns and groovy mustaches.
Wow.
And
curly hair.
Well, the guys that have hair, it's
Oh, right. I saw one of the guys.
But Don Draper is Don Draper, and nothing ever
always
changes.
Will be cool. Yeah.
Always will be cool.
No, speaking Mike Brady perm for Don Draper.
No, Mike Brady. Oh, that would look bad.
Don't do that to him. I know, he's pretty funny, though. I mean, if it was possible, he would do it.
I think so.
Maybe I'll say that for Saturday Live.
Roger Sterling's sideburns and mustache were incredibly entertaining this past week. So. Just a side note, because I love my Mad Men.
No, but absolutely. Going back in time, Batman 66, there's a note on here that Julie Newmar... is in negotiations for Catwoman?
Yeah, so they were at, Burt Ward and Adam West were at Mad Monster Party, and I said it correctly for the first time. I usually call it Mad Monster Con, which is something else completely.
There's
so,
two other things mashed together.
So anyway, they're doing... there was a comic book series that played homage to the old Batman TV show, and they're coming up with an animated movie, and Burt Ward and Adam West are going to be in there, and Julie Newmar, who played Catwoman... for
the first
one,
season.
Just the first,
the first
season?
Season.
Yeah, and then they replaced her like two other times. And
They had three Catwomen. They had Julie Newmar, Eartha Kitt, and...
Yeah, the third
Lee
one...
Lee Merriweather.
Oh, that's right. But, I like all of them, but I still think it's pretty cool if they can get her to play that part.
I think she's the only one
else alive?
Or? Yeah, Lee Merriweather's gone, I think.
Ouch.
If you're not...
Look it up.
I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to.
I know Eartha Kitt's gone. And she was my favorite.
But they're all getting up there, which I understand.
I'm upset with Julie Newmar because I went and watched Wong Fu and she wasn't on there not once.
But Patrick Swayze was in drag.
But Julie Newmar.
No, I'm sorry. To Wong Fu, no. You have to watch Priscilla Queen of the Desert, which is what they kind of sort of based it on.
Right.
Nothing beats Priscilla Queen of the
That's
Desert.
That's true.
I love Priscilla Queen of the Desert. And nothing beats Hugo Weaving in drag. Really.
It's true. You're just kind of like, that's the same person? How is that the same person?
And Zod. Oh my gosh. Zod with boobs. Because Terrence Stamp plays.
Really? Now I'm going to have to watch it all the same.
Oh my
gosh. Yes, this is a great movie. I love that film.
Yeah, I do too.
This is not on the list either, but so the Daredevil series on Netflix will be out Friday, April 10th.
I knew that. That one was incredible.
So it's going to be all 13 episodes, so I predict Netflix will crash.
We're going to hopefully get to it before...
I'm so far behind already.
But I can't watch all 13 episodes this weekend, so I'm like, I guess I'll just have to give up Facebook. And,
you have 48 hours. What are you talking about? Uh-huh. And I'm sorry, Lee Merriweather, you are still alive. So it's just
Lee Merriweather.
She was our biggest fan.
I'm alive? I didn't know I was alive.
I know you've been listening to all 17 episodes. And...
Yes.
Sorry,
I'm
you're still
interested
not
in the Daredevil thing.
Oh,
really?
Cool.
Yeah.
You should watch it.
Well, no, see, the reason why we won't be able to watch it is Saturday we have the crafting morning, and then the afternoon is International Tabletop Game Day, and then Sunday we're going to South Carolina with my family to celebrate my birthday.
Your birthday.
Something. My birthday.
But this weekend I have Con Carolina's stuff.
Oh.
Yes, don't you have to watch a bunch of films?
Yes. I only have 40 more film festival entries to get through before Saturday.
I really hope that the Tim Horley one that we saw at Mad Monster Party isn't there.
Which one?
The 90-second one about the guy killing people.
Mm.
I need a title.
Were there a lot
Immoral?
Of
Immoral?
I don't know. I have to look at my list. I'm going down just the list, like...
If it's on there, just don't watch it.
Okay.
Just don't.
If you're listening, Mr. Filmmaker.
We apologize.
My name is Giddy Geeker. I'm the one that's saying it, and I'm not on the committee. So, but what you did should not have been entered into a film.
Incidentally, I'm going to throw a plug out for the Con Carolinas Film Festival, because we got some really, really great entries this year. I'm only like 30% through them, but... and we've got... I've watched two from Japan, one from, I believe it was Palestine. It was Arabic. It's just some really, really great entries. So, yay.
And since you can't watch those for a couple more weeks, there's a trailer you can watch. The latest new Fantastic Four trailer is out.
Do you really care about this?
I don't know. I was trying.
This was actually the Japanese trailer, so it has some different footage, but it actually looked pretty
better.
It looked a lot better, and it looked, whereas the other trailers made it look like they were just kind of throwing everything that we knew about the Fantastic Four out the window. This one seemed like, you know, the Thing was the Thing, Human Torch was the Human Torch.
I'm sorry, I forgot we were talking about Fantastic Four for a minute.
I know, after the Groupon like the banana thing last
banana
week.
Banana
no
bunker
more banana bunkers. Melinda's here. No banana bunkers.
No,
we will
no.
not discuss banana
so did,
bunkers.
No,
so it's a Japanese trailer. Did they throw in just a couple of giant robots to keep it?
No giant robots. No, there was a giant. It looked like almost like a Stonehenge thing at the end with this huge electricity cosmic thing coming down. So that was the closest they came to making it Japanese, I guess. So, but it looked a lot more Fantastic Four-y. So I don't know.
I'll have to give it a go, because the last trailer that they showed did not hold my interest for the trailer.
Yeah.
The last trailer they showed looked like Percy Jackson.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Leftovers, trying to be in some kind of sci-fi movie.
Percy Jackson's kind of Leftovers Harry Potter, isn't it?
That's my statement. Yeah. It was that many levels down low that...
This one was pretty cool. It was like there was this giant rock, and it exploded, and then there's the Thing. It was like, but it was just so
maybe
cool.
Maybe this
image,
will be got like Guardians of the Galaxy, where we were like, "What the heck?" a year ago, and then we were like, "Yeah."
What I think they might have done is redone the whole movie, reshot, which they have done in Movie Land. So this, and
so is this the one with Channing Tatum?
No.
Is this the one with Ryan Reynolds?
No, that's Deadpool. Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum?
He already came out. I think the one where he was an alien with kind of pointy ears.
No, Deadpool.
Is Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. Channing Tatum was in Jupiter Ascending.
No, but you guys.
Oh, is it going to be Gambit?
Gambit.
Is he Gambit?
He's Gambit.
You had the same reaction last time.
Yeah.
We talked about this.
I blocked it from my memory. It's such bad casting.
Okay, so he's not... Gambit's not part of the Fantastic Four.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
But he is in the Marvel Universe, so at least it's the same.
At least it wasn't completely.
Yeah. No. You're...
But speaking of, you know, things that should rest in peace, final issue of Fantastic Four.
Yeah, so this is...
For now?
Well, until the movie's probably gone for a while, or until they... Here's my problem with Disney right now.
What's your problem with Disney?
My problem with Disney. They own Marvel Comics now. So they're basically saying...
Wrote it.
They're basically saying to Fox, who owns X-Men, we want to use those characters, or we're going to phase out... You know, we're going to phase out X-Men, and we're going to do the same thing with the Fantastic Four. So what are they doing? They're basically killing the Fantastic Four in the comic book and killing this. And this was their flagship title, you know, Marvel's flagship title back in the day for superhero. And it was, I just think it's not right. What do you have in response to that on the Cards Against Humanity?
You know what I think Disney is doing?
What?
Developing secondary sex characteristics.
Yeah. I always wondered what Goofy was.
I agree.
I'm not sure about that, but what's
yeah,
that?
Through photosynthesis.
Well, that would explain. That's well, very that scientific, is... yeah.
Okay. For those of you who can't tell, I'm reading Cards Against Humanities for my answers.
The science pack.
And next, I'll have some fun and interesting facts about rocks. Okay, moving on.
That ties in. All right.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, speaking of rocks.
Speaking of the rock.
Chris Rock.
That's nice. Yeah, this isn't really geeky, but it just chaps my ass. Sorry.
Why are bottom. You wearing chaps?
Did you hear about, okay, side note, and then we'll go back to Chris Rock's
okay.
and what's going on with your bottom. But NPR had something on their podcast this week that there is a new family-friendly ebook translator that will go through, and anytime it says something that may be a little bit inappropriate for children to read,
uh-huh.
it will change it. But what's happening is with a lot of these romance novels, it's changing everything that they mentioned below the belt to the word bottom, no matter what it is.
Oh, no.
They're just calling it the bottom. That could be very traumatic for a child who doesn't understand why, you know, things are happening in the front. But anyway, moving on.
I want to read 50 Shades of Grey through that translator. I bet it'd get better.
I will get that name for you. I will link it.
We had someone, a patron at the library, we don't know who went through one of the girl... Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest books.
Yeah,
and
those were good.
Blacked out every offensive word, but went through all, like, 900 pages.
Oh, my God.
It just takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you have to really look for them and pay a lot of attention to them. It wasn't just like they went through a couple and were like, this book should not be in the library. They went through the whole thing.
Censored it for you. Yes.
All
right.
So when I was in high school, we were all assigned to campus jobs as part. It was a boarding school, and it was a Christian school. We're all assigned campus jobs. My campus job happened to be to assist in the library. And because it was a Christian school, and because I think the librarian, who I've dated librarians, some of my best friends are librarians, it has nothing
Did
to do with
Did you two
that.
Date?
No. Oh, no. Not yet. No kidding. I'm engaged. Sorry.
But we could still be best friends.
That's right. We'll be besties. So she was a little crackers, and I think they didn't know what to do with her. She wasn't a licensed librarian. She wasn't a degreed librarian.
Also, I'm not either.
But she would go through every National Geographic, and she would cover up, she would put tops on all of the naked people.
Did she draw them on?
Or? Yeah, with a black marker.
Wow.
And you know the ads on the back of magazines where it'd be like a guy and a girl with Stoli or some drink or something, you know, on the back, and the girl's got a low cut dress, she would like color it in and all this kind of
Give
stuff.
Her a dicky.
Oh, no, she's trying to avoid that.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, moving on. So speaking of Chris Rock and how that chaps your bottom.
Yeah.
Well, how does Chris Rock chap your bottom?
So he's been doing these selfies when he gets pulled over by the police.
Yes, I know.
And, I mean, this is Chris Rock. I mean, but he lives in New Jersey. This has happened like five times. This has happened five times in the last, like, I think 2 or 3 months.
He's gotten pulled over five times in the past.
Yeah.
Month. That's why he keeps posting them to prove that all you have to do is
drive while black.
And he's just saying, and basically he does hashtag wish me luck every time because he does, you know, with all the stuff in the news, you know, it's like people are getting shot. for no good reason. But the most recent one, he was a passenger in the car.
Seinfeld's car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the really taping nervous. Of Comedians and Coffee.
Yeah,
Coffee.
I saw that.
Yeah, and it's like unbelievable. So here to, I mean, I don't know anybody on the planet who doesn't know who Jerry Seinfeld is. Really? So they obviously were pulling over.
Yeah, whatever.
Or you know, obviously pulling over because they saw an African-American guy with Jerry Seinfeld or something. And it's like, this is just insane.
What are Jerry and his butler doing?
Ow, exactly. And I
don't maybe know. They all just really want to meet Chris Rock. Maybe they recognize him.
No, they are very good friends. Actually, in real life, they are very good friends.
I know it would be nice to think that.
It would be nice to think that.
That was. I'm glad he's doing it though. Just to
yeah, but it
could happen to any black guy, not just.
Exactly. Yeah,
but speaking of cops and arrested development.
Yeah. Nothing to do with police officers, I don't believe. But yeah, so the producer. Brian Grazer said that it looks like they're close to signing an order for another
season
of, thank you, of Arrested Development.
Are they going to do it online like they did the last one?
It's going to be on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be on Netflix. But what they realize is they listen to the fans kind of distaste with the way they had to shoot it because they couldn't get most of the cast together at the same time. So the series on Netflix, they had to have like little character-centric episodes where they would just focus on one or two characters and you would see a couple other characters because they couldn't get them all in the same room in the same place. But with all their schedules, I don't know how they'll do it this season either, quite frankly. But anyway,
well, speaking of redoing TV shows, ABC yes. is eyeing a Muppet Show reboot.
Yes!
I have mixed feelings.
Yes.
Are they... Don't pee on my childhood.
A little bit of hope,
not,
though.
It's not just that it's peeing on the childhood. Jim Henson's gone. I really wish, as much as I love the character, I really wish Kermit would retire because it's just not Kermit. It really isn't.
Well, the good thing is...
It's like the new Monkees TV show that Al talked about, you know? It's like they're not going to have a chance because those of us who know it are going to want it to be the way it was.
Yeah.
They're going to do a new Monkees?
No, they did.
Oh, they did. I didn't.
And you see how well that went.
Because yes, I used to love the original.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the producer of How I Met Your Mother used to be a writer on The Muppet Show, and he is going to be one of the showrunners and producers and writers for this Muppet Show. So there is a connection. So there is a little bit of that original flair and writing staff, which should help.
And apparently, the co-creator of Big Bang Theory is also.
Yeah.
But I would almost hope that they get new Muppets for the new Muppet Show. That they don't, I mean, unless Frank Oz is coming back for Miss Piggy and Fozzie. It's just, I don't know. It just rings hollow when they talk. It doesn't work for me.
What was the show that they did for a while there? Was it called Muppet Show Tonight or?
Yeah, it didn't last.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But the character that they had that was going to be the kind of cool jazz guy.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Some character. Mix in some new characters with the old characters, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of X-Men it so that it's like Muppet Babies.
Well, even though.
That's already happened.
Yeah. Well, even Sesame Street, look at a show like that that's been on forever. They introduce new characters. They don't shove them down your throat, but they organically kind of mix them in and kind of build them up. And it's kind of interesting how they do it, but that's how you got Elmo. And, of course, the toys drove us all crazy, but, you know, took them to Elmo. But, I mean, those characters, I mean, those are new characters. And they still have Big Bird and things like that. But, yeah, you don't want to rely completely on the old school, I guess.
Did we ever talk about Joseph Gordon-Levitt going down to Fraggle Rock?
No.
Apparently he's starring in Fraggle Rock.
Yes.
What?
You're doing a
Take Your Cares Away.
He's going to be.
This is a feature length adaptation of the 80s series.
Oh, my goodness.
And he is going to produce and star in the Fraggle Rock film.
Wow.
He's charming. He can get away with
that.
But
you know what? He's also the right age to love it. It was kind of like.
Because it was big in the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the Muppet movies did well.
Most of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's Muppet Christmas Carol. I love that.
No. I mean the two recent ones.
The two recent
Oh, I don't know.
We didn't see it. People our age didn't necessarily see it.
I saw the first one.
I saw the first one too.
Yeah.
But it was created by people who love the Muppets. And that's as opposed to people who are just looking for another money grab.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what has to happen with any of these reboots. It has to be done by somebody who really is invested in it.
That's why I'm so sad that David Lynch has dropped out of the Twin Peaks thing.
That's a very bad sign.
Very bad. I don't think I want to watch it.
I was so excited
because it was like Mark Frost and David Lynch, and I just couldn't wait. And now it's like, oh no. So Netflix, because I know that they're listening, right?
Yes, we have their ear.
Pay David Lynch a lot of money take it over there.
If you don't, according to Cards Against Humanity, there's a 0.7 waist to hip ratio to you.
That'll learn you.
Yes, that's not on our list, but yeah, David Lynch has dropped out.
That
of
was
the
news. I was very sad.
And I don't know if Showtime's actually going to go forward. He has told them they can go forward, but he dropped out because they wouldn't give him enough money to do what he wanted to do.
To do it the way he wanted to.
And it's like, okay, if you're doing Twin Peaks and David Lynch tells you, hey, I need this much money, give him that much money.
Yeah, because now I don't know if the actors will want to stay in or not.
Yeah.
I would think it would be good if they didn't, because hopefully they want that vision too.
Yeah, and you would think before they would announce it, they would work that part out.
Yeah.
That's like preliminary stuff before you make an announcement, I would think. I mean, I know it's exciting and there's leaks and things like this, obviously, but...
Or maybe what they did is they kind of courted him along and said, look, if we get enough interest, we'll find the money.
But there was enough interest.
And they didn't find the money. That could be the story. I don't know. That's just
maybe they talked to him about
That's what David said on the phone last night. Yeah.
When you were talking to him?
Yeah.
Did you record this interview? We need that.
Did he finally get you Henry Cavill's number? Because we know that's the only reason why you were talking to him.
He did.
Does David Lynch know Henry Cavill? Did he talk in that
Everybody
little
knows.
Western twang and...
He pretended to be British. He knows I like it. So.
Do you guys watch Louie?
I do.
Did you see the episode with David Lynch? Or the episodes when he was on? It was basically the arc where
Louie... Did I miss part of it?
Louie was going to be... Louie was going to take over for David Letterman in the Louie universe.
I just finished watching season 4.
Okay, David Lynch has like four... four episode arc where he's sort of this old producer.
Did I miss part?
I think it's season 3. Yeah. It's
the
very
end of
it.
That's very sad. I just remembered that.
Okay, yeah. But it was a great performance.
Yeah.
I thought
really
good.
Well, he had that part in Twin Peaks.
Yeah, he was in Twin Peaks.
Which involved talking very loudly, but also being very funny.
Just great. It was awesome. Yeah.
Oh, well. I just had to say I was sad for Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Since we were talking about all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's right along the gate.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of other people with the last name of an L, Stan Lee as an action figure.
I can't believe they haven't done this before. They never did a Stan Lee action figure.
Well, this one's going to be bearded from his 70s phase.
He's going to wear bell bottoms.
His hair is a little white back. Well,
here's the thing.
He's got the big glasses.
It's got two interchangeable heads. So you have bearded Stan Lee and non-bearded Stan Lee. This thing is $250, though.
How is it like little tiny... 7-inch action figure, or is it 12-inch action figure?
It's like 9 inches.
Ooh.
It's kind of in between the range. Yeah, so it's...
He's 9 inches just like he is. Oh, sorry, Melinda.
He's like 92.
Excelsior!
As a comic guy, is this something that you'd be interested in, or...
Here's my problem. I like action figures. I'm not into them anymore, but it's
like... But if it doesn't have the kung fu grip?
It doesn't have the kung fu grip, no. No, but my thing is, like, there were some Beastie Boys action figures back in the day, and I liked the Beastie Boys, and I wanted to get them, but they were, like, $350, and this was in the 90s, and it's, like, each, and I'm like, I can't afford...
I don't think there's
them,
anything
so.
I like enough
not for
to have an action figure.
It's a piece of plastic.
Maybe because I'm not a boy, I don't know, but it just...
Not that much.
Nothing
there's
that
no
I
way.
Like. Not even Henry Cavill.
I'm doubting that. If there was like a life-size Henry Cavill, that was...
You know what? I will retract this and say if there was like Radiohead action figures, I probably would buy those.
Okay, I'd buy Radiohead action figures
too.
Yeah,
so I had X-Files action figures.
So I think every single week I reveal something that surprises you.
So I could like put Tom York in a corner, write your songs in a little corner.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, speaking of disturbing things, there's now you can now vote for Golden Girls Legos.
Yeah.
Yes, they.
Why would you do that?
So it's on the Legos Ideas page. Go to that. Joey, we'd be happy to link to that Giddy Geeker.
Yes, I will.
And so they showed like some
concept. I actually saw that today.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It was really cool. It was the kitchen with
all the girls.
I don't even golden. Know why you would do that. I mean,
just to something... have it to be kitschy.
Okay. Is there going to be a Legos game, a video game with the Golden Girls? Because they do, you know, Lego Batman and Lego.
Yeah,
Indiana
who gets
Thrones.
The last piece of cheesecake? That will be the game.
That would be great.
That would be kind of cool, you know, a little B. Arthur Lego thing in the video.
And you can have that one episode where Quentin Tarantino came on.
There should be ones where, like, they have to get across a gulch.
What?
Is there, like, a huge fan base for the Golden Girls now?
Oh, my gosh. I have to say, every time I see it on Logo, I watch it.
I have a friend who's obsessed with the Golden Girls still.
Thank you for being a friend.
Summer on the OC was obsessed with Golden Girls.
Wishing back again.
Robot Johnson always sings that.
Yeah, well, it's one of the songs they sang. They sang it to us to celebrate our engagement last week. So.
Aww. Aww, sweet. Well, so, I mean, you guys aren't gay, but, you know, if you wanted to go to Indiana and have a pizza wedding, first you'd have to.
I would do it just to meet Donald Faison and Zach Braff. I love them.
Yes, Zach Braff and Donald Faison.
Let's pretend to get
pizza.
Married. Let's do
pretend
it.
Pretend to get married and so they can make our little pizza. Cater our pizza reception and then we'll tell them, oh, we're just joking. We just want to meet you.
That's right.
Well, no,
little Chris could be in the wedding party. That would count, right?
Well, if he would just get himself a boyfriend.
We could adopt him as our gay son and see if they do a pizza adoption party.
Aw.
Aw.
Awesome.
He already calls us mom and dad. So. Little Chris is 5'4".
So, Zach and Donald, if you're listening, Starnslord and Giddy Geeker are going to adopt a gay son. Could you please cater their adoption party with pizza? Woohoo!
They said they would make it, too.
Oh, they're going to make it.
And maybe they could, you know, Ariel Johnson could
what's that?
Who's the new comic coffee store owner?
Yeah, this was just, there'll be a link to the page here. This is really just a quick mention.
Evidently, there'll be a link.
Yeah. I gave you the link, so you don't have to look for it. But this is kind of cool.
Gave me the link.
She's, put some salve on it. She's going to open a comic book store in Philadelphia. It's a comic book coffee store, and she'll have little baked goods too. But she's just talking about diversity in the comic book world, and she's African American and female, and she's just saying, you know,
where is she located?
Philadelphia.
Oh, cool.
And just said, you know, we need more people that are willing to take these chances. You know, so embrace your geekdom, basically. And she just encouraged everybody to kind of go and do their thing. So whatever it is that makes them happy.
I have to say, and I was talking to somebody about it today. And they're like, they're planning their gay wedding. And we were chatting back and forth. And one of the things that we were talking about is the fact that geeks in general tend to be the most diversity accepting individuals, unless you like Twilight, then we have a problem.
Then we
with
have
you.
Issues, yeah.
Mm. But the majority of the time, we do accept you.
You don't love Twilight, do you?
Well, I don't want to talk bad about any books. Anything. I mean, I'm not a rabid.
You're not Twihard?
No, I'm not Twihard. But I'm accepting of Twihard.
Right, we accept it. We pat you on your head, let you go.
And hope you read Holly Black.
We hope that it'll be your gateway to other books. To
Mary Kate and Ashley, right. The New Adventures.
Yes.
No,
you heard it here first. I heard Mary Kate and Ashley went to a Quidditch World Cup.
Did they?
Yes, apparently the Quidditch World Cup. Hopefully this will be posted before the weekend because it's this weekend.
It won't, but go ahead.
The Quidditch World Cup was in Rock Hill this past weekend.
And what's Rock Hill? No.
Rock Hill, South Carolina, but
because that's where you really think about Quidditch being,
well, you know,
World Series.
Yeah, I had no idea that colleges had Quidditch teams, but apparently
that's
colleges
cool.
have Quidditch teams. And for those of you who don't know what Quidditch is, it's the game that Harry plays in the Harry Potter books. Normally, it's played in the air because they're flying on broomsticks. In Muggle Quidditch, it's played on the ground with broomsticks between your legs. It's kind of. Kind of ridiculous looking.
It's kind of like a cross between lacrosse,
yeah,
and broomstick.
Yeah.
Didn't they play that in that Vince Vaughn movie, The Intern?
I do
they
not know.
That was a
yeah. I
think
you're right.
They were playing the on the ground version.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Version.
But
yes.
I think that was it. Yeah.
They're actually
if the Quidditch players look like lacrosse players, I'm there.
Well, I pictures look like they did kind of look like college dudes. You may want to go down there and see if you can jump.
How does the golden snitch move? Does that just, you just hit it with your?
I'm not certain. I have not actually. Now they actually do have a documentary on Netflix for those of you with Netflix on Quidditch. So I have to look up the name of that documentary because it's on my. To watch,
but if you don't have Netflix, you could always go over to BitTorrent and there's something new over there.
Maybe you don't want to do that, but well,
no, BitTorrent for legal. Something legal.
This is a legal thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, I don't know about the documentary.
No, I wasn't Netflix. Recommending that you go to BitTorrent to illegally download
it's
anything.
Much less the movie, which is what it's called.
I wanted to tell you about this wonderful new thing that's legally on Doctor Who. That is Doctor... What did I say?
Legally on Doctor Who?
Yeah. So,
I guess whatever he would consent to. what? Legally on Doctor Who. No, legally on BitTorrent. I got you completely. I got you completely.
Okay, why don't you take it over since my mouth isn't working.
Yeah, so it's basically 10... It's 10 episodes of Doctor Who, and it's BBC has endorsed this. And it's to celebrate, what, the 50th or 51st?
Well, according to Cards Against Humanities, it's to celebrate the quiet majesty of the sea turtle, but I don't think that's right.
I missed that episode.
I did not know that Gamera was in Doctor Who. Did Gamera make an appearance in Doctor Who?
That might be the next season.
I know the Loch Ness Monster did way back in the day.
Right. But, so it's free to download a certain portion of the content, but if you want Peter Capaldi... And some other extra stuff, like he'll do like an intro for each episode and some other little sneak peek things that will not be available anywhere else on DVD or Blu-ray or anything like that. Then you pay $12.
$12?
For 10 episodes.
Just like the 12 doctors. $1 for each doctor.
There you go.
Not including the war doctor.
Darn it.
Sorry, John Hurt. I know you're our number one fan.
Yeah.
Or Dr. Donna.
No dollar for you. So.
No dollar for you, John Hurt.
He's hurt by it.
Oh, boo. So, what about these 3D glasses for Age of Ultron?
Yeah. No segue there. Wait, get a segue. Yeah. Cards Against Humanity segue is?
Slowly evaporating. Yes, it is. It's slowly evaporating.
So, this is pretty interesting. So, yeah, so I guess they did this with the first Avengers. I don't remember this, but they have, like, Captain America 3D glasses. Black Widow, and really Captain America and the Black Widow ones look really good. The one that doesn't look so good is the Vision,
Hulk, right?
The Vision one. Oh, the Hulk is pretty horrible, yeah, but Vision, which I thought was kind of weird.
That's ironic.
And then who gets the Shaft? Hawkeye. No glasses for Hawkeye. The only guy who actually, I think, wears glasses in the whole thing.
The male Katniss?
What? Yeah, male Katniss, yes.
Okay.
No, not the male cat. Oh my god. Give me a drink. So anyway, but you can...
But in the movie, he only really does do bow and arrow and just kind of sit in the background so far.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And look kind of pretty.
He looks pretty.
Jeremy Renner.
But there's another...
if you watch the Avengers movie and you see this big silver thing flying through, that's not Smaug.
Okay.
Just so you know.
All right.
Go ahead.
Good to know.
And there's also, I just saw this today, there's not going to be a post-credit scene in Avengers where they sat around and had dinner.
Shawarma.
They're not going to do that. There will be a post-credit little scene, but they're not going to do the post-credit
okay,
scene.
Okay, so you'll have a dancing group, but you won't have Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Why won't they have that?
Josh Whedon said he thought it would be expected, so that they're not going to do it this time.
So they're telling you that they're not going to do it, so that way he can make it a leaf on the wind, and they're going to have it in there anyway.
No.
We're going to kill Wash again?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Nathan Fillion will and Khan and Alan Tudyk will start talking about Khan Man at the end of Avengers.
Yeah, where all of the Firefly cast is going to make appearances.
Yes, all of them. They've like raised over $2 million, and this is Indiegogo. So the difference between Indiegogo and some of these other things is that when you pledge for Indiegogo, that money immediately gets taken out of your bank account.
Yeah. With Kickstarter, it doesn't get taken out unless they meet their goal. Mm-hmm. If they don't meet their goal, then you don't pay anything.
But. Right. And that's what kind of messed me up with Veronica Mars, because when I pledged to Veronica Mars, I had that money in my account. By the time, 30 days later, it was right in between two paychecks, and that money wasn't
there. You gotta remember that, I did that Kickstarter.
Yeah. So, you know, but that makes a difference. So with Indiegogo, you have to make sure that you are willing to give that money up. Even if they don't reach their goal, you're still willing to give that money towards that thing.
Yeah.
With Kickstarter, you know, you have the safety in numbers. If they don't meet their goal, you don't pay.
Yeah, and that's one thing I don't like about Kickstarter, because I've had a lot of comic book friends who, and they have really small goals, like $2,000, but they just don't have a name attached to their comic book or graphic novel. And, I mean, they'll be so close, like $300 away, and they lose it all. And then they have to redo the Kickstarter again. So it's almost like they do like end up doing two Kickstarters to get there. And it's just, it's a shame sometimes, I think, where Indiegogo sounds really awesome. At least you have something to start your project with and get going. So I like that.
Very cool. So getting really close to a project, some guy bought like 9,000 Post-its and did a project at his work.
It's like, 8-bit murals of the Avengers. Well, no, just superheroes, because he had Wonder Woman there too, right?
Yeah, and Spider-Man. And,
it was pretty awesome. So he had bunches of blank walls in his office. He decided he was tired of staring at the walls. Yes. So he invested in a bunch of Post-its, all different colors, and he did some amazing murals.
Yeah.
I just hope that glue doesn't, like, unglue, because that'll be a sad day.
I'm sure he taped as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to go through that much. Yeah, because Post-it notes, we covered a co-worker's death. Yeah, we covered a co-worker's desk when she went on vacation once. And they don't stick all that well. We had to tape. So... But we didn't use 9,000. We only used like a couple hundred.
Wasn't it like 9,000? I think that's what we...
I think it was only like 8,094.
I'm sorry, I lied.
You are so off.
I'm sure he kept the other 1,000 in his desk just in case, you know.
Yeah. Patches, like you're talking about.
I just want to know if, you know, his boss was like, so...
You have this much time on your hands.
Yes. Let's talk about that. Speaking of things in high definition...
We were.
Yeah.
Star Wars
in HD.
8-bit versus high definition.
Oh, okay. So is this the original Star Wars?
This is all 6 movies.
In high definition.
I'm sorry, there were only 3.
Okay.
That's how I feel. But
that's how I feel too.
Yeah. Good, yeah.
So is this like the remastered Star Wars in high definition?
So they've never been available for digital distribution. They've had the DVD and the Blu-ray and the VHS releases and all this stuff for the years. So this is going to be the HD digital
release. Lord knows Lucas can't
release, so.
Just release the darn thing once.
Yeah. Well, Disney now.
It doesn't belong to him anymore.
Yeah. That's true, but that when he was doing the VHS and then the special editions and then the
my gosh, it was crazy.
I don't know how many times we bought that series of films.
I bought them way too many times.
Yeah, but is this like the original, or is this
that I don't know. I was looking through there, so I don't know the special edition.
Added, yeah, special edition.
I'm doing
edition.
Your quotes, but yeah.
Yeah, the let's put a whole bunch of people walking in front of the camera edition.
Yeah. So.
You know,
okay, look, it's a Dewback edition.
I was thinking about this the other day. Do you know how I got my Indiana Jones trilogy? Drive through McDonald's, $15. Got all 3 on VHS one time.
VHS McDonald's.
Huh. Yeah, it was like a promotional thing. Like you could go through and buy each of them. And I'm like, we should bring that back. Screw some of these little Happy Meal toys. Give me a DVD.
You hear that, McDonald's? Give her a DVD.
Sorry.
I have a completely surreal George Lucas story.
Tell me. Cool. Completely
even though
surreal.
This is off the page. But
oh, wait.
That's all.
The page is only a guide.
When I was working on Roswell, George Lucas's daughter was a big fan, so he arranged to bring her to the set. And because I think that she was just enamored with all the cute Roswell boys. Because she was young. And, but it was the week that they were shooting the script that my writing partner and I wrote. So we went there after we thought he was gone, and we sat down in the little director's chairs, and then he came and sat with us.
Wow.
We just talked to him about like how he hates getting up to take his daughter to school. It's just like talking to somebody's dad. You could kind of tell that like for George Lucas, the thrill of watching Roswell being filmed was not really that high, but he was very patient and let her stay a really long time. Aww. And I thought it was very sweet. And that was my story. But it was just very weird to just be sitting there and then like...
George Lucas plops down next to you.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. George Lucas was there and you hid?
So we didn't hide. We were sitting in the director's chairs next to him, and We did not fall down and say, we love you, or anything. Right. We said, we wrote this episode. It's the first one that we've ever done. And then I think other than that, we just said, we talked about his daughter, and then we were quiet because we weren't trying to bother him.
Both Matt and I worked at radio stations, and we used to get emails every once in a while when certain celebrities were coming saying, please do not touch the artist.
Yes.
Please do not approach the artist.
Well, we thought that we were going after the artist had already gone. We thought he had left.
And this is why I was asking, because I had this... a situation with Jessica Simpson when she was going around and promoting her country album when she was trying to go country. And there was a certain hallway that we would use between. So for people who don't know, a lot of radio stations, they're not just one single radio station. They're what they call a cluster. Don't go any further. It's just the word cluster. But the particular cluster that I worked at had four stations in one floor. And so there were little pods that you could kind of walk through to go, little hallways that you could walk through to go from one station recording area to another. And I was trying to go around and hand out a bunch of VIP passes for different events for the weekend for salespeople. That's way too long of a story for this. But anyway, I thought I had successfully avoided her so that we wouldn't get in trouble because we were told that she was not interested in being like pawed all over, and so I took the secret hallway thinking this is how I'll avoid her, and little did I know the station manager was choosing that little hallway as the place to
keep her away.
So I just I remember she was so little, I mean you just don't even imagine, they're so tiny. And then they get all this crap about being overweight, and I'm thinking, I'm 5'10", I must be scaring the heck out of this woman. And she saw me, and she was kind of like, but she had her little dog in her hand, and he was like this little white whatever. It looked like the dog from the dog food commercials, the little...
Oh, the little Caesar?
Yes, that's what I look like.
Oh, my God.
But I just remember pressing my body against the wall, trying to be as, you know, out of the way as possible, and she was like, hey! And then she just kind of watched on, and I think the manager forgave me later. But I was just, it was one of those situations where it's like I thought she was gone, so I thought it was safe to roam, and then all of a sudden, there she was.
There were a lot of other people around because they were doing that episode, so...
Oh, good. So you weren't in trouble?
No.
Okay.
We didn't get in trouble.
Well, they were the writers. They're top dogs.
We were just the staff writers. That means that we were the lowest on the writing staff. But it was great of them to hire us because we didn't have much experience. So
very cool.
On the TV.
And what was the weirdest part about writing for TV versus writing a book?
Sorry. I'm thinking slowly. Not weirdest, but just... The biggest thing that we did when we were on the writing staff, we also worked on the show, this Lifetime show called 1-800-MISSING.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was about a girl with powers that helped the FBI. But anyway, it was just how the majority of the time when you're a staff writer, the majority of what you do is be in a room with the other writers and help figure out the plot of the episode. Like, you don't do a lot of writing of the scripts. Like, when Laura and I were on the staff for Roswell, we wrote one episode, but most of the time we spent in the room just kind of brainstorming about episode ideas, and then before anybody would start writing, we would break each story down scene by scene by scene by scene, and we would do that as a group, and then whoever was writing it would go off and write it. So it was really collaborative, and it was really fun, because writing can be kind of solitary.
Yeah.
And then I guess the other thing is, it's not weird, but it's just when you're writing a book, you get to do anything you want special effects wise.
Yeah.
But when you're writing for TV, you can't just be like, and then they, you know, split into molecules and think it will actually look cool. Like in a book, you can just describe it however you want. And so,
interesting.
So budget, and you know, you have to write this many scenes on the standing sets and this many scenes outside. So you have to, there are a lot more practical considerations, because in a book, you don't have to have any. You can go any number of locations, have an unlimited budget for anything you want.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So speaking of books, you have some to review.
I have two book reviews.
Yay!
TVs.
Boom!
The first one is Neil Gaiman's new book, Trigger Warning, which is a collection of short stories. This is actually really, really good. I love Neil Gaiman, but I think he has issues with ending his books. He doesn't have that issue with short stories. And these are all slightly kind of horror... suspense stories, and most of them have a gothic feel, which is right up my alley. So I really love this book. Highly recommend it. There's some poetry in there that I could have done without, because he's really not a poet. But I liked this short story collection better than Smoke and Mirrors, which is his other short story collection. So go out, read Neil Gaiman's Trigger Warning. The second one is a book I picked up at Mad Monster Party. I want to get this correct.
While you're looking that up, let me do a Cards Against Humanity IQ for you.
Actually, I got it. It is The Night of the Living Inflatable Love Dolls.
Denied.
By J.H. Glaze.
Yeah.
That could be a Cards Against Humanity answer, actually.
It could be a Cards Against Humanity answer, Night of the Living Inflatable Love Dolls. Which is kind of a novella. It's very short. It is exactly what the title kind of indicates. It's very cheesy. It's very B horror movie.
Yeah.
Downer of an ending. But it's a really quick read, and it is actually kind of fun. And if you want to read about blow up sex dolls walking around spitting toxic goo, this is the book for
Oddly
you.
Enough, I'm intrigued.
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
Exactly. This is what happens when truckers, you know, take shipments of sex dolls and then stop at a military base and take shipments of unlabeled barrels of stuff. So
it's called a mashup, folks.
Yeah, it's called a mashup. Yeah.
Look for the union label.
So yeah, Trigger Warning and Night of the Living Inflatable Love Dolls.
Which reminds me of Jon Snow was recently a dinner guest on Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers.
That's my cricket.
I don't know if they had sex dolls in Westeros.
They had White Walkers.
Did they really need them? So yes, Jon Snow is a horrible dinner guest.
Yes. We will link the video. You will laugh.
There's really not much to say other than Jon Snow is a horrible dinner guest. And I have to.
And yet there's always that one girl that no matter what he says, it's going to be like, you're single. You're cute.
And I have to applaud Kit Harington, because that's actually Kit Harington who plays Jon Snow, and he's in full costume.
That was awesome, so, yeah.
So it's nice to see that he has a sense of humor, because he always seems... Well, I mean, Jon Snow on the show is...
Jon Snow.
Poor Jon Snow.
I don't suppose you watched iZombie this week.
I did not. I don't have DVR, so it's hard to...
I did watch the pilot. Fry Zombie, and I liked it.
Yeah, it's actually not a bad little show.
It's a good show.
It's a good show.
I read what happened, but so yeah, it was good. Good episode.
I'm gonna bring you back because it was actually slightly
okay.
And I do like how they have the comic book element when they come back, the transition.
Yeah,
so it's the artwork, and then it bleeds into really quickly into the live action, which I think is kind of neat.
Watch this, I guess. Yeah, I think you'll actually enjoy it.
It's fun. Yeah, you'll like
it. It's smart and it's fun.
It's like
if you like Veronica Mars, which you clearly did.
Actually, it's not really Law and Order with a zombie. It's Quincy with a zombie.
Yes. I used to watch Quincy. Sorry.
No, I like Quincy. So I did reach out to the comic book artist, Chris Robertson, because he had donated to us back when the series first came out. And I said, hey, you know what? He and I had been going back and forth, and he was going to do an email interview for us, which was where I send him 5 questions. He sends me back the answers. And I said, hey, I see you never finished this. I know it's 5 years later, but if you'd like,
now that you're
I'm happy to post it. And congratulations. And he answered back, thanks so much. That was it.
So no, I'm not going to answer those questions.
But I do have an email from him, so. We know him. The geeks know him. So, we also reached out to Richard Hurd, who we do have an interview about. But he is the guy who now does the little Nest commercials about being all grumpy about the fact that now you can program your thermostat on your phone and how this is just wrong. And
it's funny. Yeah.
It's very funny. But he's been a long-time friend of the geeks as well, so...
And for your old schoolers, he was... Was it John on V?
Yes, he was Commander John on V. Yeah. He was also George's boss, the one you actually saw when he was working for the Yankees. And then he's been in All the President's Men and a bunch of different movies. And I saw him at Dragon Con. He just did a great job. But speaking of some great character... actors
that
are unfortunately no longer with us. This week we had to say goodbye to two.
One was James Best, who most people would know from the original Dukes of Hazzard, and he was
Roscoe P. Coltrane. Yeah,
yeah, sorry. To do the voice. So
he was a native of North Carolina, was he not?
He just passed away in Hickory.
So,
he and his
so
wife
if you're not from there, why would you be there? So, yeah. Yes, he's definitely from North Carolina.
I don't know. But, yeah, he,
anyone from Hickory listening? Apologize for that.
That's right. You killed him, Hickory.
At least you're not in Gastonia.
Oh. Anybody in Gastonia listening? You can email Carol at carol@charlottegeeks.com.
No.
And also, unfortunately, the father of Juliet Lewis, but also a very recognizable character actor in his own right. Jeffrey Lewis. And he was also a co-writer on a lot of stuff, especially Eastwood, Clint Eastwood. Yes. He worked with him a lot on Westerns and different things.
Yes.
Every Which Way But Loose was a good one. Yeah.
If you don't recognize the name Jeffrey Lewis, look him up. You'll recognize the face. He was in over like 200 films and TV shows. He was just everywhere. It's just one of those guys. It's like, oh yeah, I know him.
Yeah, if you pull up IMDb, the list, you're like, I have no idea. Like Highway to Heaven, like all those shows that have like a lot of character actors. He was in all of them.
It was in a really good episode of The X-Files. He was just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
And yes, the father of Juliet Lewis. So
yeah. Yeah, I saw the story on Juliet Lewis, and when they linked to the picture of her father, I was like, you know, Lewis is a common enough name. I didn't realize the two were together, so.
Yeah, and there'll be a link on the website. She had a kind of a nice little
tweet.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but. Yeah, okay.
Well, ending on a high note?
Wait, that wasn't very high.
Okay, don't shatter glasses.
That was high. Yeah.
Unless they're 3D glasses for Hawkeye. Okay.
Yes, that's what happened.
Yes.
Shattered all of the Hawkeye.
So I'd like to leave you with this closing Cards Against Humanity quote. Infinity. Achieving reproductive success. And
oh, boy.
Getting really worried about global warming for a few seconds. Without further ado, I'm Giddy Eager.
I'm Carol the Cat, I guess.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Tiff, or whatever my name is.
Tenacious T! Matt Starnsword and our special guest, Melinda Matz.
Goodbye. Thank you, Melinda.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for inviting me.